You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
In this series today, we're talking about vocation, that would be your workplace, your job, your career. We could be talking about your efforts or your time at home if you're a stay-home dad or a stay-home mum. And if at any point today I say work or workplace, I know and understand that those of us who are stay-home parents are exceptional and hard workers, and I'm including you when I say work or workplace. In our family, my wife is a stay-home mum. Or more accurately, she doesn't have a paid job, but she is a hard-working rock star. And I'm lucky to have her there, so I thank God for her every single day. So each and every week, I tell you, if you do the things that we unpack in our sermons here at Eternity Church, not just me, but my team and also the guest speakers that I invite to come. If you do what we unpack on this stage in our sermons and apply the scriptures to your life, you will absolutely see a positive change in your life, in your future, in your relationships, but most importantly, in your friendship with Jesus. And so I want to encourage you to take notes when we preach. I want to encourage you to get a podcast and listen to it again and again and just let the Word of God to our community just really permeate your heart and see God do great things in your life. Sound good? Fantastic. So our sermon series is based on Proverbs 13 that says a good man or a good person leaves an inheritance. Proverbs 13. And literally a good person leaves something good behind for the next person. You got to leave something good, a sweet aroma, something nice. A good person leaves something good behind. Often your parents might say things like, when you leave a room, it should be as if you never were in there, right? That's what my parents always said. The idea in our house was that the home should look like a display home at all times. The expectation I had for our home quickly died when I discovered my wife's family did not grow up the same. And the home was lived in, and I was frustrated when there was anything anywhere other than where the interior designer planned it to be. But my parents always said that when you leave the room, it should be as if you were never in there. Have you heard that said before, right? When you borrow someone's car, it should be like it never got lent out to you. I want to tell you that, biblically speaking, that's incorrect. When you leave a room, you should leave something in there better than when you got in there. When you borrow someone's car, you should fill the tank even if you got it on empty, right? You should wash the thing, fill the tank, and give it back. Every time I get a loaner from my car dealership, yeah, this is good. Every time I get a loaner from my car dealership, right, they give it to you and they say, just bring it back with the same amount of gas. Often it's on quarter of a tank. It's never really over half. I have never yet given it back without a full tank. I don't care. Well, they make money. Well, they just made some more. Praise God. But whenever you go somewhere, use something, touch somewhere, be somewhere, believer should leave something, not nothing, but better than how they got it and better than how they walked in there. Can I get an amen? Because everywhere we go, we leave something behind, don't we? We leave evidence of our actions or our presence in everything that we do. Maybe in our keystrokes on a keyboard or our search history on our computers and phones or our transaction history and our bank statements. We leave a trail behind us, don't we? Everywhere we go, we leave fingerprints. We leave DNA. We leave hair. There are, in this day and age, video recordings and pictures. In this day and age, everywhere we go and everything we do, there's usually some kind of evidence that we were there and that we did it, isn't there? Have you noticed that? Everywhere we go and everything we do. That's why people go to so much trouble to conceal their whereabouts after or during a crime. They wear masks, they wear gloves, they don't want to get caught because we leave evidence of the things we've done and the places that we've been. And scripture says that a good person leaves something good behind. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, what evidence are we as believers leaving behind? Everywhere we go, what DNA, what proof is there that there was a believer in the car, that there was a believer on the plane, that there was a believer on the bus, that there was a believer in that workplace, in that cubicle. What evidence are we leaving behind? What does the DNA say? Can I get an amen? Because you know the world generalizes, doesn't it? You know that, right? Some people are like, what? The world generalizes? No way. No, for real, right? The world generalizes, right? They meet a millennial and then they sing that song. M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A-L. Gotta love millennials. That's how I learned how to spell the word, was by that song. The world generalizes. They meet one millennial and they say, all millennials are like that. You know, it's funny to generalize and say all millennials are like that, but you know what? God's got a plan and a purpose for every single one of them. Maybe we should stop mocking them and invite them into the house of God and say, yo, God's got a plan for your life. Let me help you do it. Amen. But the world generalizes. They see a person from Australia on TV like Crocodile Dundee. They assume that we all call prawns shrimp, that we throw it on barbies. I ain't ever heard an Aussie ever say, let's throw a shrimp on the barbie. It's never happened. Not one. That guy Paul Hogan is a liar. Come on now. We don't even call them shrimp. We call them prawns. And we certainly don't cook them on barbecues. That is sacrilegious. You know, if people meet a Christian, they generalize, don't they? Oh, well, I heard about Westboro. Oh, those Christians be like them. I'm like, what? No, I'm not going to give you reason to believe that believers are anything other than what Scripture says they ought to be. Loving, accepting, embracing, empowering people, inviting you into the transformative presence of God. Amen. Come on. So I want to broaden this little bit and ask you, when you walk into your workplace, when you go to work, whether it be in a truck or a car or on an industrial site somewhere, whether it be in a cubicle or an office somewhere, what evidence is there that a believer was in the house? Oh no, you got to keep work and faith separate. That's garbage. You don't have to do that. There's not even a law about it. And even if they say you can't preach Jesus, well, actually be Jesus. Come on now. All right? Don't say the name, but act like him a little bit, and that might have just as good as effect. Amen? Come on now. What evidence is there that there was a believer in the house? What are you leaving behind? What kind of legacy is being created in your workplace and in your wake? Whether it be a home space or a workplace, where you spend your time working hard, what are you leaving behind? Fruit of the Spirit? Fruit of the Spirit? Y'all know about Galatians 5, fruit of the Spirit. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Message explains it this way. What happens when we live life God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance for life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. And we find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life. These things are gifts from God. And when Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, it's not talking about things that I have forced to happen in my life, but things I've asked God to do in my life, and He has blessed me with, and now I am these things. Are you asking God to bring these things into your life and into your workplace? Are you asking God to bring these things into your family, into your home, into your church? Do you want these things in your life? Do you want to be exuberant about life? Yeah? Come on, anyone want to be exuberant about life? Come on, anybody exuberant about life? I am already. Come on now. That's a gift God's given me. I'm excited about life. It's a gift from God. Amen? Do you want to be exuberant about your work? I'm glad you do. Come on, do you want to be exuberant? Do you wish that you could, maybe I'll rephrase it that way. Do you wish that you could be exuberant about your work? Yeah, you wish you could be that? I want to tell you, God can do that. God can do that. You want it? Ask for it. God can do that. Amen. Do you want to be more loyal at work? God can bring these things into your life and into your vocation. Vocation literally means your life's work, mission, purpose, or your occupation. Your mission, your workplace, your career, your purpose, all of these things. Now you're doing them with a sense of Christian legacy. Colossians 3 says in verse 23 from the NIV, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as though you're working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward." Come on now. It is Jesus Christ you are serving. It is Jesus Christ you are serving. What? Hang on. Whatever you do when you're working for all these people, it is Jesus Christ you are serving. It is Jesus Christ you are serving. Whether you're the top dog or the underdog, you're serving Jesus when you work hard with all your might. Amen. Whatever you do, do it with all your heart. Oh no, but Pastor Jesse, it really means that whatever your heart loves to do, do it with all your might. Sorry. It's not that. It's whatever you do. It says all that you do with all of your heart. It's like how Scripture says that all things work together for the benefit of those who love the Lord. Right? We've talked about this before. When Scripture says all, if you go right back down to the root definition, it means all. It's fascinating. They translated this word so well, right? It's just like 100% accuracy. It's brilliant, right? All things work together for the benefit of those who love the Lord means all of the things. Not one of the things, not one lucky thing, not the good things, not the bad things. All of the things will bless you. Amen. That's good news. But it's the same here. All means all. This is not some things. This isn't do a couple of things with all your heart. This isn't work for somebody who deserves you with all your heart. This is not saying that only the good things should be done with all my heart. It says all the things with all my heart. All my things with all my heart. Come on, how many of my things? With how much of my heart? All your heart. We are instructed by Scripture to do all the things with all our hearts. Oh, I will work hard. When? Find a job that treats me right. I'll have a good attitude if I get a full night's sleep. Don't have kids then. Don't have five. Come on. Or I'll follow my boss's instructions when he starts to pay me what I think I'm worth. Yeah, we mustn't be reading the same Bible. There is no whens, ifs, or buts in this. See, I read, in everything you do, do it with all your heart. In everything you do, do it with all your heart. Come on, church. We are Spirit-filled believers. We have the power of God in our lives. We can do impossible things. Come on, if we can see people healed of cancers, blind people seeing, marriages restored, you better believe we can work hard. Right? We can do that. Come on. I often get louder claps than that when I'm preaching, but some of y'all are like, this one here means I gotta work hard. I don't know if I can clap that because on Monday I'm gonna have an opportunity to do that. I like clapping to the things Pastor can't find out about if I did it or not. Come on. Well, you know what? In all the things, do with all your heart. So if it's a good sermon, clap with all your heart, all right? That's right. Give me one of these pansy claps. Listen to this. Listen to this, all right? Don't just do the minimum that will get you by. This is that same verse in another translation. Do your best. Work from the heart for your real master, for God, confident that you will get paid in full when you come into your inheritance. Keep in mind always that the ultimate master you are serving is Jesus Christ. The sullen servant who does shoddy work will be held responsible. Being a follower of Jesus doesn't cover up bad work. Church, that's why our volunteers here do a great job. Oh, I don't have to volunteer hard. volunteer mediocre. These people aren't paying me squat. I'll clean half the auditorium. I'll serve half the people food. And I'll sing half the song. All things. All your heart. See, if you're new here, our volunteers serve you with all their hearts. Because they understand that as they serve you, they're serving Jesus Christ. That's why our band, 100% volunteers, serve with all their hearts. All their hearts. Not waiting till the day they get paid to give their whole heart. Come on now, all their hearts. We don't use Jesus as an excuse not to work when we can. Now, I'm not judging people who can't find work. Come on. I'm not judging people who are unwell, whatever other valid reason they may be off work. I'm just here to tell you that God does want us to work. That God does want us to do our best. And when we're employed, He wants us to work for that person as if we're working for Jesus Christ. You know that, right? You're employed by someone. Or your mom or dad asks you to do a chore. Yeah. Jesus. That's right. Yeah. You hear that, kids? Oh, shut up, preacher. Yeah, I know. Come on. Any mom and dads in here want to come give me a high five? Come on. There we go. See? Come on. That was for you, Jed. Play that podcast all week, right? Yes. Come on. I'm here to tell you. He wants us to leave evidence of a Christ-like heart in our workplaces. God wants us to work. If you're a stay-home dad, work hard at home. And if you get the time after that, after looking after the kids, take care of the home and the house that God blessed you with. If you're a stay-home mom, same deal. Work hard at home. God will bless you. If you're employed by somebody, take care of what they trusted you with. Well, I'm on minimum. Well, thank God for that. Take care of what you've been trusted with, and God will richly reward you, amen. Oh, my boss doesn't see what I do, but God does. Oh, my boss doesn't know how hard I work, but God does, amen. You will be richly rewarded when you leave evidence behind you that makes the life of the next person easier. Don't ever leave a room with no evidence you were there. When you leave the room, make sure that that room is now better for the person coming after you. Amen. Don't think it's easier for me because I work at church. There's nobody checking my time card. But I work hard. But it hasn't always been easy. I worked in secular jobs and ministry jobs. And what I'm about to share a story, I'm about to share a story with you, and it's not the normal story because most churches are excellent employers and treat their staff really well. But I did at one time work for a church that paid me as little as they possibly could and treated me badly as well. Anyone ever had a job like that? I'm not going to ask if you currently have one in case your boss is in the room. Anyone ever had one like that, you know, where they paid you as little as they can and treated you bad to boot, right? Well, I had a church do that with me, and one day we had an event. A certain local businessman had donated one whole trailer of bricks for the event. And by bricks, it's not an Aussie word for something else, bricks. Because you might be like, why would you want a trailer load of bricks for an event? We needed them. And so the guy donated a trailer load of bricks. And after running out of those bricks, my boss wanted me to go get another trailer load. And I let them know that I negotiated the deal, and the businessman was very clear that it was one trailer load of bricks. And that's it. Well, my boss told me that it's the weekend and no one will ever know. So just go grab another load. It'll be fine. I want to tell you, they might not know. But Jesus knows, all right? Now, and I'll tell you this, don't break the law for your boss, all right? Work hard, be honorable, have respect, but don't break the law for your boss. Can I get an amen? And I said, no, sorry, but I'll make some calls and see if I can go buy some from somewhere else or maybe try and contact that businessman again. So he pushed me and said, am I gonna need a teacher a lesson in who's the boss around here? He pushed me hard enough, they went hurling backwards into a wall. And now admittedly, I'm a pretty skinny guy and that's not super hard to do. Basically, he went like this and I fell over. Now, I'm not suggesting at all that you should put up with abuse, right? That's not what I'm suggesting here. It's not cool. It's not cool at all. And if any of you as an employer have ever laid hands on an employee, ask for forgiveness immediately and never ever do it again and make it right. But in my situation, I knew wholeheartedly that God had called me to that place. What do you do? What do you do? God had called me to that place and I was to serve those people in that church with that man. So what do you do when the person above you is not acting godly? You act godly. You be godly. They're not acting righteous. Well, then you act righteous. You act godly. As long as you work there, you work hard. That's how you act, all right? How do I act when someone I think above me isn't righteous? Well, as long as you work for that person, you work hard. As if you're working for the Lord. You hear me? As if you're working for the Lord. Is this touching too close to home for some people up in here? You don't steal bricks, right? You don't do any wrong if someone commands you to. But as long as you work for them, you work hard and you give it your best with all your heart as though you're working for the Lord. And because God sees what you do, you will be richly rewarded. Amen. Scripture says that those who serve faithfully will be richly rewarded. It does not say those who serve a righteous man faithfully will be richly rewarded. It does not say those who serve a good man. It doesn't say those who serve in church. It says those who serve faithfully will be richly rewarded. And God will reward your faithfulness, church, wherever He sees it. Wherever He sees it. At home, at church, at work, in your community, God rewards faithfulness. I know what it's like to struggle with a superior, but I've also seen the rich reward that comes from working hard, no matter what. I ask the Lord to give me the gifts I needed to be faithful and to work hard in that kind of environment. And praise God, He gave it to me. Even if they don't see your hard work or at least even acknowledge it, your Heavenly Father sees your work, sees your honest character, and He will reward you every single time. Romans 12:17 says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible," I do love that there's that, if it is possible. You know, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with anybody. You know, if someone keeps punching you in the head, it might not be possible to not turn around and punch them back. But if it is possible, right? But if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I like to say it this way. Do your best, trust God with the rest, and you'll be richly blessed. Bust out some rhymes. You want to know what happened in my case? You want to know what happened in my case? I got his job 2 years later. I got his job 2 years later. The devil wanted to use it to destroy the calling of God in my life, but God used it to propel me into my calling. Because if I didn't stay there and if I didn't serve faithfully, you know, I wouldn't even be here today. If I didn't stay there and serve faithfully and trust God that as I do my best, trust Him with the rest, that He will richly bless my life. That's where I met the person that gave me the phone call that got me over here. That's where it happened. In the middle of all of that garbage, God always rewards faithfulness. Stick at it. Be honest. Don't give up. Maybe you'll look at them and remember they're bringing you a blessing. You might do that Iowa nice thing. You might look at them and think in your head, you're just a trial. You're just a test, but I'm going to be richly blessed and have your job soon. Smile at them with that Iowa smile that you guys do so well. I know we're all in different places in life. Can I have the band come back up? But all of us can take stock of where we are now and ask God to help us move forward, can't we? Maybe you've had bad attitudes. Well, it's a new day. Sometimes it's our fault that work sucks. Can we be honest, right? It's not always your boss's fault. You know, every job I have, the boss is a jerk. Okay. Seems to be a common denominator, but whatever. We'll roll with the boss. Every boss in the world is a jerk. Maybe you've had bad attitudes. Hey, that's in the past. It's a new day. Amen. We're going to ask God to give us those gifts of the Spirit. Amen. We're going to ask God for that in our lives. Maybe you've repaid wrong with wrong. Well, today God is bringing you a gift, the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe you've been tired and had no drive to work. Well, today he's going to put some fire in some people's hearts again. Amen. It's a new day, my friend. You can have joy and peace in your heart no matter where you are. Whether it be working on the roads, working in an office, whether it be flipping burgers, which I have done at McDonald's for 3 years. No matter where you are, you can have a joy and a peace in your heart that the world can't take away. Amen. Work hard. You may not be the best, but God is calling you to do your best. Submit it all to Christ. Ask him to bless you. You bless him by working hard. Ask him for those gifts in your life, love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Would you all stand up with me, church? We're going to close in a moment. Or we're going to have an altar call, I should say, in a moment. But I want to remind you, all of you, that no matter what your calling is, no matter your vocation, your life mission, your purpose, your career, unpaid or paid, God is the God of more, not less. So we don't have to be like, well, it's too late. Nope, God is God of more, not less. It gets better than that, though. God wants to empower you right where you are. He wants to equip you with all that you need to do your best and to excel at what you do. Come on, you're a Spirit-filled believer. Come on, you're a Spirit-filled believer. You got the Holy Ghost in your life. You got the power of God in your life. You live in the presence of God. Don't let the devil trick you into thinking that any situation or circumstance is too big for God. I believe that if you come to the front today and ask God to give you those gifts, he will answer you and you'll be able to leave a godly legacy in your vocation, so much so that God will promote you, that God will bless you, that God will strengthen you. I believe it with all my heart. And people will see the strength of the Lord in your life and they will want what you have because you decided to take what we unpack in the weekend and apply it to your Monday to Friday. God wants to promote you. God wants to bless you. But he's calling us to work hard and do it with all of our might, with all of our hearts. Let God propel you into your calling by representing him well in everything that you do, by leaving something good in the room when you walk out. Oh no, I'm a salesman. I gotta have that sale. Well, maybe you can get 10 and be so good to leave one there primed and ready to go for the next person. Leave something behind. Come on, you got this. You're a child of God. I believe in you. I believe you can do this. I believe that people will want to hire eternity people one day. There'll be a rumor going around town that if you hire those eternity people, your business will be blessed. Your burgers will taste better. Your floors will be cleaner. Your stocks will rise higher. Your patients will be healthier. Amen. You got to hire those eternity people and you'll be blessed as they are blessed. Amen. Come on, I just believe that God wants to bless your life. Some practical things in Scripture. We want to leave a legacy in our families. We want to leave a legacy in our church and our services, and we want to leave a legacy, leave something good behind when we're in a workplace. God bless you. I'm going to pray a prayer in a minute, and if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to pray this prayer with me one line at a time. If you don't know Jesus, you need to change that tonight. If you don't have a friendship with God, I'm talking to you. I want you to pray this prayer with me. I want you to give Him your life tonight. God is good. Any other rumor you've heard is a lie of the devil, and he just wants to keep you away from God. God is good. He's always good, and He's only good. He does no harm. Come on now. He is the great physician, Scripture calls Him. He is good. The devil come to steal, kill, and destroy. Everything bad that's ever happened in your life is because of the devil. Everything good in your life is a gift from the Father of Light, Scripture says. God is good. If you don't know Him, give Him your life today. Let Him take away the shame of your past mistakes. Or maybe you're carrying the shame of other people's past mistakes. Things they done to hurt you or things you done to hurt them, I don't know. Whatever way it is, would you let God take the shame and the pain away? Scripture says that if you pray this prayer, He not only forgives your sins, but takes them off you, and you live your life like you didn't even do it. But then on top of all that, He gives you hope, purpose, destiny, and He gives you gifts in your life, like we talked about earlier, plus more. So everybody in this room, if you don't know Jesus or you've walked away from Him, pray this prayer with me one line at a time. You won't be alone. Every single person in this room is going to pray it together. So everyone in the room, come on. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sins and rose again to give me life, joy, peace, hope, and everlasting life. Please forgive me the things I've done wrong. You call them sin. And help me to be all that You designed me to be. I receive this new life in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise in this room. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.